Yeah, the first item on the among the committee reports. So this is kind of part of the business meeting. Should be considered part of the business meeting. Is a report on the Mutt-Strutt for 2013, and to give that report, we have our statewide coordinator, Gita Kevlin Jackson, and we have the people who were the chairs for the three local places, the three local venues. So how do you guys want to work it? Do we start out with Gita? I am hearing yes. So, Gita, welcome. I told Gita, you know, that she used to work for Warner Brothers, and I told her that I really appreciated all those nice classical tunes in the cartoon.
That's right.
Programs and everything. That must have been her fault, her credit to her for that.
Bugs Bunny used to sign my check. So.
Oh, good, yeah. Good.
This year, this Mutt-Strutt was a huge event, and it was the most successful fundraising event. And what we have here we go. What we have here is we have Frank Welty from San Francisco, the chair, Jeff Tom, the Sacramento region chair, Ken Metz, the LA region chair, and Peter Perdini will be giving us a quick report on the finances. Just wanted to go ahead and start working on just asking a few questions on how this event became successful and what we need to do to make it just a little bit more successful next year. So I'm going to start with Frank. And Frank, I want you to give me a little bit of information about the venue this year and how that worked out for you.
Well, this year we had a new venue for the San Francisco Regional. Last year we had done a walkabout on San Francisco's Civic Center Plaza, which is right next to City Hall. This year we went to a place called Lake Merced, which is a park that is very popular with runners. Runners like to run around the lake. And so we had not only a good running trail, but also a large parking lot where we had lots of room to set up our event. So we had, so for the first time this year in San Francisco, we had an actual race that was run by a professional timing company. So we, in order to encourage serious runners and other enthusiasts to participate, along with just people from our community and people that we know. Now, that was a very big step for us because it was a different venue than we had before, and it was set up for a running event as opposed to just more of a simpler walk event, and it was a step forward that we needed to take for the event to grow for the long term, and it was a step that the other regions had to tackle as well.
How will you be improving overall participation next year?
We have several thoughts because we had the lowest participation of the three regions. And our goal for next year is to reach out to both the running community and the dog enthusiast committee. We had some experiences this year that gave us better ideas for doing that next year. For example, in the case of the dog community, we happened to learn nearly at the last minute about a really neat event called the Million Dog March. And it was a big outdoor event at another park, not Lake Merced, but another park, with lots of dog organizations. And one of our members went and scoped it out. And hopefully if they have another event like that next year, we'll be there. Maybe we'll even have a table. Also, we got an idea from another person who suggested that in order to contact dog clubs, that we research them on the American Kennel Club's website. We hadn't even thought of that. That's something we will do next year, to work earlier to make contacts with dog clubs to get them aware of our event and to encourage them to organize teams from their clubs to participate. And then finally, this year we had posted our event to running calendars in the area to let runners know about the date of the race. But we got a great suggestion from somebody who suggested that starting maybe a month or so before our race, to actually start visiting other races in the area to pass out flyers so that we can actually meet runners in person and invite them to come to our event. So we're going to try those three things, and I think that will really do a lot to increase our participation in a big way.
Great. Thank you, Frank. Ken, I'd like to have you explain a little bit about the venue and, in particular, the support of the parks and the reason that made LA's Mud Strut such a success.
Thank you. I think one of the greatest things we had was, well, two things. One was our, and we'll get into that later, community support, which helped. But the venue was incredible because we had a park supervisor that was worth his weight in gold. Anything we needed, he was there to assist us. He was always willing to get different things for us, whether it had to do with some of the little tents to keep some of the shade there since it was like 100 degrees that day, if not a little more. He helped us with a little vehicle that he was able, a gator, I guess it's called, and he was helping us move tables and chairs. The park district provided other tables and chairs for us so that we didn't have to pay for them. And he was just tremendous in anything we needed to be done, including setting up the storage area that they have. He let us bring stuff in a few days ahead of time so that we could actually do all of our wag bags right there at the park and assemble them. And he also allowed us to, as I say, to store everything. And he even allowed us to put some banners up, a couple of banners up on their fences. Actually, they did it for us. We got the banners and they put them up. So almost anything we needed, he was right there. And on top of all that, he supplied us with information regarding volunteers that we needed. And it ends up that my wife was in charge of volunteers on our committee, and we went down there, and Jason introduced us to this lady that runs a group called Prom Plus, which is a group of teenage volunteers, and we didn't know at the time when we met her, but found out that she was also the editor of the Crescenta Valley News. And so we were able to get a couple of stories in there because of it. And she also supplied something like 50 or 60 teen volunteers and also supplied us with oranges from some of the various neighbors' orange trees down there and also found the contact for the Crescenta Valley High School Jazz Band. So we actually had an hour of great music, including the beginning with the national anthem. But this was all created because of the help that we got from Jason Hauser, who was the manager at that park. And so it was just incredible to see how they went right along with us and helped us with anything they could to allow us to be successful.
Thank you, Ken. Now, Jeff, you did something a little bit differently in Sacramento. Why don't you tell us about the pancake breakfast?
Okay, well,
There we go.
Hold on. Okay, now I think I am. Yes, we were really thinking about what we could do. The last couple of years we had hot dogs, and you know, people just didn't really want hot dogs at 10:30 in the morning when the race ended. And so we decided, what could we do differently? And we thought, okay, a pancake breakfast would be a really cool idea, but we knew we didn't want to have it if we had to pay for it because, you know, we're here to make money and we have enough risk involved that we knew we needed a partner that would help us do this. So we reached out and we got a Lions Club that was willing to pay for it and do a lot of the work as well. And so they put on the pancake breakfast with a little help from some of our own people. And, you know, it was all underwritten. The foods they didn't provide, we got donations from other sources, so we didn't spend a dime on that aspect of the event. There was a covered gazebo area where people could eat, so you know, the heat wasn't a huge problem for that part of the event. And I think it engendered a real sense within the community that it was more than just a run. And so I think this is something that we hope we're going to be able to continue in future years to make it the type of community event that people throughout the community of Citrus Heights will come to, have a chance for a little breakfast, you know, after they get through with their walk or run. And I think it's going to be an ongoing part of our event.
Thank you, Jeff. And also, too, we were talking on the steering committee. What can be accomplished next year as far as lowering the funds needed to put on a mud strut? Jeff,
okay.
I'm sorry.
And in terms of lowering the funds, I'm sorry, what did you say?
Yeah, how can next year be accomplished with a minimum of funds?
Well, one of the things that we did, for example, and we're going to need to do more, but we had donations from a number of Lions clubs. We wanted to do some things. For example, we put up some balloon arches for the start and finish lines because they look very cool, and you need some visual aspects to make these events pleasing to the community. And we got that almost entirely paid for through donations. We had, in addition to the Lions Club that put on the breakfast, we had donations from, four different Lions clubs who donated money for this event. So, but we need to do more. We need to start earlier in going to these organizations. We need to get people to drive us so we can get there some of the time, depending upon where they are. And we also need to work on getting more state and local sponsors that will give us more donations for next year. But the fact that we've built the infrastructure this year and that we don't have so many challenges to overcome early on in terms of getting our venues together and things like that will make it much easier next year for us to concentrate on this type of funding.
Awesome. Thank you. Also this year, in addition to the timing companies, we also decided that in order to be an actual run, walk, race, we were going to get medals and ribbons. And we got ribbons, and we were able to give a ribbon to everybody who participated, whether they ran or whether they walked. And then we had different structures on the medals, but I guess from what I understand, the medals were beautiful. But so, Frank, you tell me about how it went with the ribbons and the medals.
The thing about the ribbons and the medals is that, of course, the ribbons themselves are not individually so expensive, and they give everyone something to take away when they finish their race. And the ribbons give a chance for people to get some recognition for what they do, so that it's not just an empty run. For example, we had, and it also gives a chance for people to celebrate participation, whether they win or not. We got a lot of pleasure this year out of the fact that one of our winners was Peter Pardini, and we had a couple of young girls, I think like 9-year-olds or so, that won in a couple of other categories. So we saw a variety of people winning, both serious runners and not so much so, and I think that really gave that extra sense of it being something special and something memorable, that there was a way to commemorate it.
Yes, I think you're right.
Can I tell a funny story about a medal?
Please.
Well, one of our winners, many of you know Joe Smith. Joe Smith has been a member of this organization for, I don't know, longer than I've been around. So apparently, he was the second place winner in the 2K, and he had gone to the restroom and never heard his name announced. And we didn't see him, so we thought he had left. So a couple weeks later, I finally give him, I told him he had a medal, and a couple weeks later we finally connected, and I gave him his medal. And he's like, wow, these are the coolest medals. I'm really thrilled. He was really surprised and pleased at how beautiful the medals were. So, you know, and this came from a member of the organization, not just anybody. So, you know, I think it's great that we have those medals. And I, other people told me the same thing, how really nice it was to get something that looked so cool.
I'm glad to hear that. That's one of the nicest stories. Even though this year's event was a real success, everything that we did, we learned lessons from. And I think one of the areas that we need to learn about lessons was the volunteers. We had amazing volunteers everywhere. But I'm going to have Ken explain a little bit about what a little bit differently he might handle that next year. Ken?
Thank you. We were fortunate. I believe we had something like 120 volunteers. And it was thanks to several people, but there were two major groups. One that I mentioned, which was the Prom Plus kids. I think they were probably ages 14 to 18, and that was about 50. We also had many, many, many puppy raisers, and that was through Guide Dogs of America, their puppy raisers, and we had some coming up from Guide Dogs for the Blind from Orange County. And I think we had a couple from Guide Dogs of the Desert, but for the most part, I'd have to say we had the puppy raisers helping us from Guide Dogs of America. And I say that because they helped us get some of the supplies with their with a truck or two and helped us put the wag bags together. So it was really neat. However, I think on the day of the event itself, we probably needed a little more experience, which I think we now have, so that we next time would better know how to distribute the volunteers so that it would be more strategic in the way that they're set up to help people and to handle helping with the food items, to be out on the trail to cheer people on. But the ones we did have, as I say, they were very good. We just needed a little more experience, I think. And I believe me, with what we had with all those volunteers, we got that experience. And they also enjoyed the food that we had, because we had gotten donated 30 dozen bagels from Western Bagel. And we also had all kinds of sweet rolls, from muffins from Mimi's, and we had all kinds of other cookies and brownies and mini cupcakes and strudel and it was diabetic heaven. And we had zucchini bread from Green Street, I think that's what it's called, right? Green Street Restaurant in Pasadena. And we had, you know, so many other things. And I mentioned the oranges before and bananas. So we did have some healthy stuff. They were called oranges and bananas. But all the rest, the kids ate that stuff up so well, and they enjoyed themselves. And I think they're all willing to come back next year, and we will have a better distribution as to where the location will be for the volunteers.
Thank you. What areas... Working within groups, Jeff, I want to find out, how did you manage to, this goes for everybody, but for Jeff in particular, how did you manage to keep people on point and the tasks?
Well, in terms of the volunteers?
Yeah, the volunteers and your committee.
Oh, and the committee, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What we tried to do was, am I on? Okay. What we tried to do was give very measurable tasks, and tasks that people, you know, enough so that they wouldn't feel like they were going to be overworked, but enough that they had specific responsibilities for which they could be held accountable. And then if they needed help, we tried to use a team approach, both on the conference calls, and if necessary, I would talk to them individually. But we'd use a team approach so that we didn't want our people to feel as if, you know, having problems with what they were doing, you know, meant that they were failing, but that, you know, we want to be able to help them get over whatever obstacles they were facing. And so, you know, different people had different areas where, you know, we felt they would excel and where they would, do, you know, what was necessary and had different talents than other people. And so we tried to gear the responsibilities to what they could do. And I think it worked fairly effectively. In fact, we had people that were highly doubtful of, you know, certain parts of the event and certain other people. And by the time of the wrap-up, everybody was like, wow, you know, these other people are wonderful. And so we had far more unity at the end of the event than we did at the beginning even. And that's a real mark, I think, of the teamwork that we were able to engender throughout the course of our committee.
Thank you, Jeff. And now, Peter, I'm going to ask you about the fundraising aspect of this year, Muttstrut, and what can we do as a group, not just regions, but as a group, to improve it as for next year?
Basically, fundraising-wise, our top dogs for the various regions were Elena Thomason and her dog Tahoe. For the LA region, it was Debbie Cordero in memory of Scotch. And for the San Francisco region, it was Vita Zavalli and her dog Violet. They all raised, they were the top dogs, and they raised funds using the using the First Giving pages. And one thing that we can do next year is to really encourage a lot more people to use these pages, because it did bring in quite a lot of revenue for the organization. Let me just go through a number of our income for the regions. For the Sacramento region, for the Los Angeles region, it was $6,576 for Sacramento. $6,576 for Sacramento. $6,229. San Francisco, $7,482. For the sweepstakes, we brought in $3,298 for total revenue in the amount of $23,586, which was really fantastic. This was the highest revenue-producing event that we had over the last 3 years. And we all have to be proud of ourselves for raising that amount of funds. LA was $6,576. Sacramento, $6,223. San Francisco, $7,482. And with the great getaway sweepstakes, we had revenue in the amount of $3,298. For total, in the amount of $23,586. And one thing that we can all do is really help talk to our friends, send out emails, and really try to get our presence known with the use of Facebook and Twitter, and go after the running communities and the dog groups. Questions will be addressed at the end.
This was a very good year for CCB, and we had the timing companies, and everybody handled it admirably. The job was very well done on all regions, and if we did this well this year, it only goes up from here. So next year, it should be awesome, because we can get started earlier, because we'll pretty much have everything under control. So next year is going to be an awesome year. So let's get support, bring people around, and just we're going to be 80 years old. It's going to be a great year. So anyways, any questions? Yes. Yes.
Oh, she needs to wait for a mic. Yes.
Yes, you will.
Give me a minute.
Hold on.
I need to make a couple.
Ed
other
can only move so fast. the mic's getting over to Christy.
I got it.
I'd like to let folks know that we have already begun the process to look for a fully accessible online environment for fundraising and such. Between Peter and Gita and myself, we've come up with quite a very detailed shopping list of what we want in an online environment. And so we are beginning that process already, just to let folks know. Okay, go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, Donna knows where I'm going.
Yes, I do, and you're right.
Yeah.
It was, I could have raised so much more money, and I was frustrated with the website. Ed was frustrated with the website. I couldn't send emails to my friends and stuff, and if I did, I sent them the wrong link, so nobody, you know, it was just really so difficult. We could have probably raised twice as much money had that website been more accessible. Yeah. And the bad thing is that it was accessible the year before, and I was so happy going, oh, my God, I could do this by myself. This is so cool. And I got on the website this year, and I'm like, what happened? So I'm wondering if also we can link it to what we're doing with our CCB website in some way. I don't know. It was exciting. It was fun. And I didn't know about getting the medals, and I won first place in the Walkers over 60 in the 5K, and Ed won second place. So we were really kind of shocked. And I'm happy because I'm showing this to my Weight Watchers people.
All right.
Yay! Yeah, unfortunately, what ended up happening with that situation, it was even accessible still at the beginning of this year. Sadly, when anything is purchased and split between a couple of different companies after you're on contract, that's what ends up happening. And so we are an organization that believes in full and total and complete access. So we're already being proactive, looking for a new environment so that it can be as user-friendly as it was in the previous year. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you. Peter has a couple more remarks. We'll take your
question
in just a minute.
Hello.
Okay.
Keith Johnson. What was the process in procuring the parks?
Keith, okay. Get closer to the mic.
What was the process in procuring the parks in each region?
Keith, it's Ken. I can tell you in Los Angeles area, we went to LA County Parks and Recreation. We were looking at different parks and everything else, and we were having difficulty really trying to narrow things down, getting the right people to help out. And someone had mentioned Crescenta Valley Park. Actually, it was Andy Caruso, who was then still working at Guide Dogs of America. She lived near that park and told me about it. So that's when I went to Los Angeles County Parks and Recreation, and they were extremely agreeable to helping us out. They also said if we come back there, they would consider reducing the cost of the park for next year if it was successful. And, you know, as far as the park was concerned and all the things we've heard, they felt that we were an excellent group to be there. So that's how we ended up getting Crescenta Valley Park.
Yes.
Was there
Are, yes, sir.
Who gets it? This one right here?
Yes, sir.
Front?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. We all can't fail to be impressed with the money that was raised, but I'm struck by the lack of a bottom-line figure. Judging from what we hear about the money that was raised, I can only assume that we made a profit, but I'd love to hear a bottom-line figure and some critical analysis of the overall result.
We don't have the bottom-line figure yet. We are still waiting for $3,500 coming in to under LA Region's umbrella. Somebody said, oh, we're also still waiting for figures from our 9 restaurant fundraisers that we did, 3 in the LA region, 3 in the Sacramento region, 3 in the San Francisco region. Those monies are starting to trickle in. I believe that when Ed returns back to the office, not next week, the week after, there will be a check waiting for him from Westfield. Peter also is still crunching some of the numbers as we speak, and a security deposit will be returned to the Sacramento office from one of the parks because they left the park in better shape than when they got it, so we get our money back. Peter, I don't know if you wish to give more detail on that, but it's not a final figure, folks. We are still waiting for monies to come in.
You know, Ken, if you were a member of a Lions Club, you would get such a fine. And I'm only saying this because Donna came to my Pasadena Host Lions Club meeting, and Ken. We got volunteer help from 3 of the Leo clubs, one of the middle schools and 2 of the high schools in Pasadena. We have a fund. We also gave some money towards Muttstrut to the region. And 2 other Lions clubs, I think West Covina and Burbank, also contributed. So Ken, you you owe me because
that's why I didn't join.
I understand. I start telling folks that you didn't even mention the support from the Lions and the Leos. You're in trouble.
I see a tail twister in the mix. Oh, there's also, I don't know if Jeff wanted to. Again, money's coming in still as we speak.
Yes,
I don't know if Jeff... share your porta potty story,
yes,
Jeff.
We have a fundraiser that we did. we were supposed to have our porta potty delivered through some great arrangements that were made at 7 a.m., and it came at 9:30. And so I was out walking, and the people that were there were like, we're not going to accept that the event's two-thirds over. So we... so the porta potty was refused and went back to whence it came, and then we fought to get it, and we are getting our $200 and whatever back for the porta potty that never came.
Peter, you want to go ahead?
Go ahead, Don.
Well, I was going to say, and Peter's going to do. Peter will share more on the numbers, but from the figures that we've continued to figure out, and even more so as things continue to come in, I would think, and Peter, correct me if I'm wrong, again, this is not a final figure by any means, but I would think that we are probably had expenses, in the negative of $1,000 possibly. And again, monies are still coming in. But Peter, go ahead and share a little more to answer that question.
Yeah, that's correct. Basically, again, we had incoming amount of $23,586. Our current expenses were $28,000. $963, but this does not include the additional income in the amount of $2,500 from the Westfield Mall, the $500 from the West Covina Alliance Club, and it may not include
the
porta potties, and also
again
the security deposit will be returned to us. So basically, I think this event will probably end up losing real close to $1,000, even less than that. So I think we're pretty much broke even. I mean, we learned a lot. We built some fantastic relationships with the parks, with the community, and we're building relationships with running groups, and we hope to really improve our outreach to both the running groups and the dog clubs. So I mean, in years to come, I believe that the Mud Strut will make a substantial amount of money for CCB. Basically, during these type of events, professional fundraisers state that you really should not expect to raise any funds for the first 3 to 5 years.
Okay, what I would like folks to do is I'd like folks to stand. A number of folks have questions, and what Ed is going to do is he's going to go to those he sees standing and or raising hands as he sees them.
Madam President, just very quickly, let me say one thing because it's important.
But I didn't give you the floor.
I was going to say if I can.
But you're still talking.
But, yes. I always talk.
I know. Go ahead.
What I wanted to say is the one thing, yes, we may, we could be somewhere in the negative of 1,000 or less. The amount of publicity that we gained from this Mud Strut is probably the most publicity in the state that we have received in many, many, many years. And I think that helps us for our future because people know us. In L.A., we had newspaper articles. We had radio interviews. We had talks at Lions clubs. We had talks at a Kiwanis club. We had all kinds of things going on that normally we haven't done. So I think that's a real plus because advertising and publicity is not a cheap thing to do. And so if we wanted to look at that as a dollar figure, I think we gained a whole lot in letting the community know who we are.
Okay, Ed is heading over to Judy.
Gita, it's wonderful to have you here in person.
Yes, I can finally see you.
And I have that hot sauce motto that says Mojada Mo Better? Well, I think we should have a new slogan for the Mud Strut, which is Morsuna Mo Beta for next year. Morsuna Mo Beta for just about everything. And I think, and if we can get the venues nailed down so we can get our brochures, because often what keeps us from getting our venue brochures is, we got to have that park name there. So if we can get those nailed down much sooner, we can get the flyers out, we can print billions, and get our volunteers out there to everywhere. More sooner, more better.
Yeah,
that's
like
my. I'm just saying.
More sooner, more
I think
better.
That's one of the things that we were talking about this year is that we want to make sure that everything is done and we'll have that information and we'll be able to print the brochures and the flyers to get that. Yes, more
yeah,
sooner,
like
more
Judy
better.
Said, more sooner, more better.
More better.
What Roger said to me right now is it sounds like. We are right at the beginnings of something that's going to be very big, and that's exciting. We also know that, as Christy shared, she believes, and I'm sure she's right, that she could have raised a lot more if she wasn't fighting with the beast this year. And we definitely know a number of folks, still were able to raise with assistance, but we know some folks weren't. you know, every board member made a commitment on Thursday night to set a goal of bringing $500 per board member in next year for Mutt Strut. And you know, that's a lofty goal. What I'll share is you know, I made a commitment. I set a goal of bringing in $1,000 this Mutt Strut. I wasn't successful. I brought in half of that. The way I see it is that is half, that is $500 that CCB did not have before. So even though I didn't meet my goal, you know, I did my part, just as each and every person did who worked the Mutt Strut, whether they came to the Mutt Strut and walked that day, whether they raised money, whether they brought family. So it was exciting for me to hear Roger say, it sounds like we're right at the start of something huge, something. This could be the start of something big. Roger was singing in my ear now. Oh. Any other questions from anyone? Yes, we have someone standing. Great. Joni.
Hi. I was just wondering if there would be any possibility of maybe like joining another chapter with Sacramento or maybe some other chapters out there that don't have a Mutt Strut in their region, if there is a way to put people together so we have more power.
That's definitely something that the chairs this past year talked about, attempting to bring more chapters into it. Folks have already been brainstorming that, and so, you know, thank you for validating that thought as well. I think Ed is running to somebody else who had a question, but yes, that is... that's definitely being talked about, and we hope to make it happen. We did have San Francisco, I believe, had joined their region, representation from Silicon Valley chapter, representation from Bayview chapter, representation from Contra Costa and Redwood Empire. You know, at least I think there was one person from each, in some cases two. And so we definitely hear that. We need lots of hands, and not only from our members, but the thing that's been that region chairs and committee members have shared is that we definitely want to see what we could do to bring our volunteers in earlier. But I am so proud of the commitment that all of these people made, every single person, to, you know, put on this Mutt Strut. And everyone, every region got publicity. Every region made more friends. Keith asked about the procurement of the parks. Folks, what happened, at least in Sacramento and in Los Angeles, is the reason that on our request for proposals, when we send them out to folks who are interested in doing a Mutt Strut in their region, folks, this is the reason that we ask you to pick at least two parks, possibly three. You know, people think, oh, that's not necessary, we're going to get this park, blah, blah, blah. Well, folks, you got to have your backup, because what happens is if your first choice falls through, guess what? You're holding up two or three other regions because life happened. And it's not anyone's fault. Things just happen. L.A., I think, went to three different parks before it found Crescenta Valley Park. Isn't that right, Ken? Was it three or two?
Actually, we looked at four.
Okay, they looked at four. And number five was the keeper. Sacramento, I think you looked at two, and
yeah,
your third one?
We looked at a couple. We were certain we were going to use the capital, and then we found out that with a running event, it would have cost an enormous amount of money to use security to block off the streets. And so it made it cost prohibitive to do it. And so we had, it was a good thing we had, and there were other venues too that we had looked at briefly, but it was a good thing we had the park there in Citrus Heights that we ultimately chose. Yes.
So are there any other questions?
Yes, this is Vida.
Vida, go ahead.
In terms of securing a park, is it possible to do similar to a hotel, that you can secure it for a three-year period?
I think that it is probably dependent on each park's each area policy. I know that there are some that say they don't put their calendar out until January of that coming year. We can definitely bring that to the board because it may require, a larger deposit, which absolutely could be budgeted. So if you are making that request as finding out if it's a possibility, I commit to you to bring that to the board at our next board meeting.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, we have several. And go ahead and stand, please, so Ed can find you. And
this is Margie Donovan.
Go ahead, Margie.
Thank you. It's fairly obvious that LA has a lot of chapters and a lot of support potentially. And it's fairly obvious that the Bay Area has a lot of chapters and a lot of support potentially. Sacramento only has one chapter. And I'm wanting to know from the team what thoughts you have to help us support our Muttstrut, since we're only one chapter and it's a huge demand off of the few people in our chapter.
If I could start, and Jeff, I'd like to have you add to it. I think I have to say at this moment my huge, huge congratulations goes out to Jeff Tom as the Sacramento Region Chair and his Vice Chair, Paul Patchy. They have their chapter members, and there were a few members of their chapter who participated, but the volunteers that they brought in, they brought in some volunteers because they weren't all members of your chapter, correct, Jeff? Yeah, they brought in volunteers to help supplement the work that the chapter members were doing. So Sacramento kind of showed us in a sense that it's great to bring on a couple of core volunteers at the beginning of the process. And so I would say you definitely court your volunteers. What I'm going to say about the LA and the San Francisco region, there are a lot of chapters, as to use Margie's words, in those areas. However, what I will say is from the three regions, and all three of you correct me if I'm stating this wrong, but in all three regions, the number of core participants that were members of CCB, I believe, was the same in all three regions. So, folks definitely have ideas. We would like to see about getting, a little bit of more of a number of representatives from each chapter to participate. But there was a mighty, mighty, tiny core of CCB members that, were the roots of each region. And I think Sacramento hit it very well in that they brought on Jeff Tom and his committee, Paul Patchy Jr., and his committee brought in their volunteers at the very beginning. And Jeff, I don't know if there's anything you want to add to that.
Well, I guess just a couple things. I mean, it would be, it'd be a great thing, and I think, we've had a little bit of this in the first year, to be able to reach out We did have some monetary support from Fresno. I do want to acknowledge that. It'd be nice if we could get a couple of those chapters involved. Butte County is starting to come back. So it would be nice to see if we can get more chapters involved. But on the other hand, having one chapter mainly responsible for it does give you some, you know, a little bit of unity because you're starting from a different place and enables you to be a little more innovative in some other ways. So it's a mixed blessing. There's advantages to everything and disadvantages to everything. And so I don't know that you'd necessarily say one is necessarily, you know, more difficult than another.
Okay.
Okay, this is Andy Barocco. I have two things. One thing is I was wondering, one of the things that has deterred me from actually coming out and running is the fact that the first Saturday in September is guaranteed to be hot. I mean, this is the hottest, in Southern California anyway, the beginning of September is the hottest time of the year. And, you know, in the past I used to do a lot of running, and I know that, you know, runners generally do not come out when it's hot. And I'm wondering about the possibility of maybe having it either later in September or sometime when it's just a bit cooler. I mean, you can almost bet that, you know, in the beginning of September, it's going to be, at least in the LA area, it's going to be 100 degrees or more. And the other thing is that, you know, I want to commend everybody for who was involved for doing what they did. I think it's wonderful that members, you know, went out there and busted their butts or their tails or whatever to raise a few hundred dollars a piece. But the concept of people walking their dog seems to me to be a moneymaker that has limitless potential. I mean,
yes.
So many people walk their dog. I mean, just on my street alone, and I know it because I step in the dog poop all the time. All the time. And I guess I'm just wondering how we have to find some way to get the community involved. And I wonder maybe if there's some way that we could find a white knight corporation like the way Revlon sponsors the walk and Avon sponsors their walk. If we maybe one of the big dog pet food companies or something like that could kick in with maybe underwrite the cost of some paid publicity, like buying some TV time or something like that. Because, you know, I guess this concept of people walking their dogs, it seems to me that, you know, we could be making just so much more money, you know, than we are.
What we're trying to do also is to get advertising into the pet stores, the parks. I'm going to be doing different companies as far as proposals. But yes, you'd think that people would pay for the walking, but they don't. So we have to get out there in dog parks. We have to get out there in pet stores, in your vets, all of these areas. And we have to do it soon. Sooner than better. Sooner than better.
Okay.
Okay.
If there is one more question, otherwise we'll need to... if there's one more question, otherwise as our pan, Roger let me know of our time, so...
Okay, yes, it's Vita.
Vita, go ahead.
Yes.
Well, it's Vita, actually, and then we have to stop. Sorry.
Two things. One is, this has been mentioned in two conventions now, is the board seriously considering hiring a part-time fundraiser? And secondly, this is a comment I made at the board meeting, but I'd like to make it here again. I'm hoping that in the board's analysis of the Muttstrat, we are taking into account, one, how many members does CCB actually have? Two, how many members actually either ran, walked, signed up, or volunteered their time? Because as I mentioned, if we have 1,000 members, but only 30 or 40 people really put their time into it, are the members really behind the Muttstrat?
Okay, thank you, Vita. And we did take that that note as well at the board meeting on Thursday as part of what would be included in the analysis. And I'm going to give the microphone over to Roger.
Yeah, boy, you should have seen that executive session. Donna was mean. You know, we did some participation from Silicon Valley, and one unfortunate thing happened was that we had this Christina Wood, who's such an enthusiastic person. She was involved in the Mutt Strat, and she also went to the ACB convention and the legislative seminar. Somewhere along the way, she got a job in New Mexico. that happens, I guess.
Yeah. Yes, she did.
Yeah, and she keeps hitting me up to give money to the San Francisco Mutt Strat.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we are like 20 minutes behind time now, and I think we have some stuff that's going to take some time. So I'd like to move on. Is Gabe here?
Yes.
Gabe is here.
Actually, he's here, not there.